You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Scripture will be in Ephesians chapter 3, 1 through 9. Ephesians 3, 1 through 9. I'm not going to go ahead today with the closing out of Jerusalem as being the Mystery Babylon, because I feel it's far more important for me to leave with you the lasting impression that God lays on my heart concerning the mystery, which I need at least these next two Sundays. And after that, you know, Tom's going to be responsible here, and he's going to need your help. And I know from human nature, being what it is, some things Tom will say may not sound like me. But let me assure you that Tom is not going to fill my shoes. He's got his own shoes to wear. Don't forget that. He has to answer to God for what he has to say. But I want to leave with you a lasting impression, God willing, as to what your calling really is, what God expects from you. And it's not really a whole lot, and yet it's a wonderful thing to be a privileged individual to share with God's people his sacred secret, the mystery. The sad thing about it is, you're not going to set the woods on fire, because it's never been received with any great enthusiasm except those who do receive it. They love it, because it's the last word that God has spoken, and for 1900 years plus he's been silent. I know today people talk about having visions and hearing from God and that thing and other, but if God speaks to you, he speaks to you in the Word. And that's the only way he's speaking. He's been silent now for almost 2,000 years and will remain so until this dispensation is closed. And once again, God will begin to deal with his ancient people, Israel. There'll be the miracles and all the things that people are trying to imitate today, but it'll be the real article. It won't be this other. And so today I'm going to take some extra time with you. Ordinarily I, you know, get you out of here right on time. I'm going to get you out too, but I'm going to ask you to suffer with me from now until the time we do get out, rather than that, because I want to have the time today and next Sunday so that this will, if you allow it, the Holy Spirit can burn this into your personality and be a part of your makeup. For it is written, verse 9, Ephesians 3, to make all, you notice the word men is in italics. It's really, this letter is addressed to God's people, to make all see what is the dispensation or the fellowship or the stewardship of this sacred secret of God, which from the beginning of the ages has been hid in God. It's not hid in the Scriptures. Prior to Acts 28, there's not one word in reference to this. And the sad thing, as we've mentioned many times, is that by and large, 95% of God's people know nothing about this. That's really sad. Therefore, they don't even know their own calling. But that is your calling, to make all of God's people see what is this sacred secret of God, which is Christ in you, hope of glory. But in any case, in chapter 3 and verse 1, it begins, for this cause. Now, you'll notice down in verse 3, the latter clause, it's in brackets there, as I wrote afore, a few words. He's referring back to what he's talking about, for this cause. And that has reference to the preceding two chapters that precede this, which lays the foundation for the mystery itself. Not only does it lay the foundation, but it tells the time in which this secret of God was worked out. And you notice in the chapter 1 and verse 3, or rather verse 4, Ephesians 1, 4, the secret was worked out, notice, according as he chose us before the overthrow of the cosmos. Those of you who studied with me know that the word foundation here is kata belay, which means to cast down or to overthrow. And the word world here is the cosmos. That means God's order. Before the overthrow of the cosmos, those of you who come into the mystery, you can know that there was no afterthought on God's part, but that he chose you to that end. Now, as I said, as I wrote afore, a few words are, if you will, for this cause. The cause of what? That which has preceded in the first two chapters. Showing us that our calling, in verse 3 of Ephesians 1, is in the super heavens. Notice that again in verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Notice whereabouts. In the super heavens. This phrase appears 5 times in the book of Ephesians. Nowhere else in the Bible is it phrased that way. This is the only place where you find such a calling. It's a celestial calling. As this dispensation closes, you find in the book of Revelation, prior to that in the Great Tribulation period, that 30 angelic hosts are going to lose their places of authority. Those who rule in the universe. And the call out of this dispensation, a call to that vacuum, it's the highest calling in all the Bible. And it's very small in numbers, you can see, look around. See there? It had nothing to do with your salvation, it has to do with your calling. Now, this is where the problem arises, because as you read on in Ephesians 3, notice, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you've heard, or assuming you've heard, the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me toward you, that is toward the saints, as the first chapter tells you, is written to the saints, of revelation he made known unto me this mystery, this sacred secret, as I wrote afore in a few words. And I've already made mention that he briefly referred to it in the first two chapters. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the sacred secret of Christ. Now, the sacred secret of Christ begins in Genesis 3:15. When it was written by Moses concerning what God said to Satan, the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. We learn from Galatians that Christ is that seed of the woman. So, the seed of Christ is not anything new. It's progressive revelation all through the Old Testament. But when you come to what Paul calls my gospel, turn, if you will, to Galatians chapter 1. This is where you begin in the secret of Christ. It is not the mystery, but it contains many, many mysteries, as we shall see this morning. Galatians, in chapter 1. Some of you know these things, but those of you here that don't know about it, this will help you. Verse 11, chapter 1. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 16. And this had to do with revealing his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went up to Jerusalem for them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Chapter 2. Then 14 years after, I went up to Jerusalem, again to Jerusalem, with Barnabas, also Titus and me, and I went up by revelation. I communicated unto them that gospel that I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them were of reputation. That's the 12 apostles. And about 17 years after Paul's conversion, He went up to instruct the 12 apostles who had walked with our Lord for over 3 years. And notice what the outcome of that was in verse 7. Canaanites, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that's Gentiles, was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. He that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James and Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived this grace that given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. You see, where the problem arose is this, that when Paul died, Paul's gospel was received by God's people, namely, and turn to 2 Corinthians so you can see what it is. If somebody gets lost on the way down, hold your hand up, because I want you to get these straight in your mind. 2 Corinthians 5. To begin reading at verse 14. The love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then all were dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Because the old things that were limited in the days of our Lord's flesh have passed away. You see, our Lord in the days of his flesh came to none save the lost sheep in the house of Israel. Us Gentile dogs are left out in the cold unless we become Jews. We had no hope. But we don't know Christ that way anymore. We don't know any man in the flesh. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For where I was to be accounted of, you can't count on him. You can't count on me. And God will not one day, when you, if you're a Christian, you come before the beam and seat of Christ. It will not do to say, well, Max said this or Max said that. This book is for you. It's for you to know. I merely point you to these things. You stand on your own 2 feet in Christ. Now, if you're saved, that won't affect that. It does affect a lot of other things. In any case, this gospel, now notice carefully what it is. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It was up until Calvary. God was angry with man every day. And rightly so, because man was in rebellion. The very people he had chosen to be his vessel were in open rebellion. They had not fulfilled their purpose. And therefore God was angry. And 2,000 years ago, every sin of the human race, from Adam to the consummation of the ages, all the wrath of God toward the rebels, was poured out on his son. Now notice, that's one side of the coin. Verse 20. We're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's the other side of the coin. It's not enough that God is reconciled. But you in turn must be reconciled to him. Do not say when God's heavy hand is upon you, why me, Lord? It's not to destroy you. No chastening seems pleasant for the present, but But afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. God's trying to teach you something. No good matter, God. Say, well, why? But he is not going to come down and explain everything like he did to Job. They had to explain that after all he had the whole universe to take care of, not to come down and just meddle in your little problem. He's got your life worked out. He's going to see it through. He's busy. But he's made it clear to you, if you listen, have a listening heart, that God is reconciled. The war is over. He's not mad at anybody. But if you reject that love and pour it out at Calvary, one day his anger will come. It's in restraint now. He's offering you his grace. That's why they call this a dispensation of God's grace. He loves you, God knows. I don't know why. This is what Paul's gospel is all about. Not all of it. It isn't all of it. That's the good part of it. Then you ask, how can he do that? Well, next verse, tell you, verse 21. Notice. For he, God the Father, made him not to be, he made him sin. Every filthy thing you ever did, everything that I ever did, anyone ever did, he became. He who knew no sin, Christ, in order that he might make us the righteousness of God in him. You see, he simply took my place, me with all my sin, and put me in his place with all his glory and righteousness. That's simple. That's love, Bob. When we were at our strength, when we were his enemy, he did this. Not when we were his friends. This is Paul's gospel. This is to the world. This is to the lost. Now, in that particular period of time, other secrets were made known too. And Paul reveals them in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice. These are written prior to God's mystery, great mystery. Acts 2. Chapter 2, right? This is a secret of God's intent. Verse 7. I better read, start at verse 6. We speak wisdom among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age and the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in the secret, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages unto our glory. And none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, Satan energized the leaders of this world to do what they did and crucify him. But had they known, man had done something else. Man always does that which is opposite to what God wants. And God ordained it that way. So that was his secret intent, was hidden. Paul tells us about it now. That's why, and he goes on to show how that fulfills Scripture. Notice. Verse 9. He's quoting now from Isaiah. I have not seen, ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But, I must make that big but in your, underscore it right in your book there, because that's a big word. But God has done what? He just got through revealing it to you, didn't he? You know it now. You know something that no other human teacher knew. You see, why? Because it hadn't been made known. It was hidden from the ages. Now, notice Paul's gospel again in Romans chapter 16 to get down to the heart of the matter. The authorized version, at least, must be desired in this translation, And when I use the word age instead of world, that's what it is. And that's important to remember. Verse 25, 26, here's Paul's gospel. He refers to it. And we saw what it was in 2 Corinthians a while ago. Now to him is a power to establish you. Of course, you can't be established without that. You've got to have that foundation. According to my gospel, I'm school that word, my gospel. You won't find any other apostles say that. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation, not of the mystery, but of a mystery. A revelation of a mystery which was hushed up since the ages began. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. In other words, it's not hidden. It's in the prophecies of the Old Testament. We'll look at that in a minute. But it wasn't talked about. It was hushed up. And what is it for? For a faith obedience. So it's the last clause. That's your start. That's where you begin. In Paul's gospel. It is not the mystery, but it is a mystery that lays a foundation for the mystery itself. We see that. It is not something that was hidden in God before the foundation of the world. Something was hidden and hushed up since the ages. The difference? It's important to notice these points because it is written, try the things that differ. That's how you arrive at the truth. By way of contrast. You see? Another factor, secret of faith. How does God give faith? We learn that also. That's still in the early times before the mystery. Romans 10:17. Here's how God gives faith. No other way. Verse 17, Romans 10. Faith cometh how? Hearing what? That's right. You got anything else you call faith? That isn't faith. That's fancy. Somebody tells you about his experience. It may be a wonderful experience, but that's not what you build your faith on. Thus saith the Lord. Rightly divided. Always remember that. Let me add that. You always keep it in its context. Every time. That's the secret of faith. You didn't have to write a whole book for that. You understand that, don't you? See, a lot of times, you don't need a whole book. The secret of faith is to believe what God says. Now listen to this very carefully. I'm quoting now from Hebrews 11:6. He that comes unto God must believe that he is. That's one thing. That's number one. Believe that God has said this. That's one. And, that's number two, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Whereas when you come and hear something that God says, believe it. When you do that, this places an obligation upon God. One of two things will happen. He will confirm what you believe, or he will show you the error of your mistake. You follow me? Amen. Now, some more of the secret of Christ. He unveils Israel's blindness, Romans 11. And why? 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? No, not at all. Rather through their fall, salvation is coming to Gentiles. What for? To provoke them to jealousy. God had foretold that back in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 21. Write it down. You'll find that's prophesied. But it wasn't at all. It was hushed up. You didn't want to talk about that. Deuteronomy 32 verse 21. Or verse 12. Maybe it's 12. Look at 12 and 21 both. I've gone with you. 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 12 or 21. I've forgotten which it is. My mind plays tricks on me sometimes. And, Verse 21, okay. Now, you see, that's not the mystery. See, the mystery was where? Hidden in God. It wasn't hidden in Scripture. These are secrets that Paul revealed under the secret of Christ, which begin in Genesis 3. But it's the capstone of the mysteries of Christ, which is the foundation of the mystery itself. You begin to see this. This morning we're just going to continue to deal with the secrets of Christ. Next Sunday we'll take down and have the ice cream and cake, which is the mystery itself. But I've given you enough to let you see the distinctive things. And here again, we looked at Paul's gospel. We looked at God's sacred intent. We looked at God's secret of faith, Israel's blindness. And incidentally, you can tie into that text on Israel's blindness also 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in the New Covenant. They teach the New Covenant today, but that isn't ours, beloved, never was. Ours is the mystery, the secret. All the ordinances, we'll do that next Sunday. Another factor, however, that God brings out to us is the secret of lawlessness. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The mystery of lawlessness. This is also something that Paul brings to light. Chapter 2. But again, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord. This word coming is his personal presence. It has to do with what people call the rapture, you remember? And the coming to this planet concerning that subject matter. And our getting together unto him. There's the rapture, you see. Don't be shaken in mind, be troubled, neither by spirit, nor word, nor letter, by them that must, that Christ is already present, not at hand, present. For that day shall not come what? Except there come what? The falling away. That's the apostasy. Israel has to come to the light and apostatize first. So you can see how silly it is to be talking about the rapture at this time. Israel's in complete blindness. How can they apostatize? And they are going to be enlightened. Elijah's coming. Open the door for Israel. That scheme will be removed. There'll be enlightenment. Now, I want to inject this in passing, which has nothing to do with the mystery particular, but it is for your benefit. We are the crossroads in history, beloved. It's a wonderful time to be alive if we are right about our time elements. It's a hell of a time to be in if I'm wrong. I'm not wrong in what I believe, but I may be wrong in the time sequences. But let me see. You see, the year 6,000 is about to come up from Adam. 2,000 years since Christ. Just a few years away. And all these preachers are talking about Christ's imminent coming right now. Well, I'm going to assure you, brother, he's not coming between now and the year 2000. I can assure you that. But suppose he doesn't come. Then what Peter writes about is, they shall be scoffers. Where is the promise of his coming? You see, you holler wolf long enough. When the wolf comes, nobody pays any attention. And that's what the world is being prepared for. The scenario runs something like this. When Elijah comes, Israel, the nation will be restored. The world will become enlightened. Jerusalem will become the center of the world. It will become the greatest city this world has ever known. And it will apostatize. And God's coming back in judgment. It's going to be completely wiped off of the map. The whole topography of this earth is going to be changed. And millennial will come then, the millennial reign of Christ. He'll be personal president on this planet for 1,000 years. That's the scenario that faces it. But with the coming of Elijah, we've got a testing time for Israel with enlightenment, which they haven't had. They're going to have it. Israel's going to have her day. They'll apostatize, but they'll nevertheless have their day. That's what Paul's writing about here. Let no man deceive any man, except that there come the apostasy, and that man of sin be unveiled. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, is worshipped, so that he God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And now you know what withhold. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what hinders, that he might be unveiled in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness doth already work. Only he who now hinders will until he be taken out of the way. Now, Satan did not know all this until Paul recorded this. But beginning with that, Satan has had his man of sin ready ever since. Every generation. Satan does not know when this will happen, but he has to be ready. And you go back and study the men who have been qualified as Antichrist. Guess who the first one was? Nero. Since then, we've had a lot of them. All through the Inquisitions under the Roman system, the popes, several of them have been called Antichrist. And they were Antichrists, all right, but they were not the Antichrist. In our time, the more contemporary, Napoleon Bonaparte. Just recently, a man named Adolf Hitler and a man named Mussolini. In fact, the matter is, there are several books written on the fact that they are there to be the Antichrist. They're not. They were Antichrists, all right, but they were not the Antichrist. But Satan has always had his man ready. See, we always thought Hitler was a fool. He was a fool, all right, but not the way you think about it. He was a brilliant man with a man's wisdom. He saw the same vision that Satan gave to Christ. He took him aside. He said, all the nations of this world, all the kingdoms are yours. All you need to do is fall down and worship me. What did he say? Well, the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Alexander the Great, he cried because he had no place else to conquer. Napoleon went down at Waterloo. Man disposes and God disposes. The Aryan race, I happen to be an Aryan, I'm not proud of that. In that sense, superior race, you know. Of course, I believe the Scots are, but they're not. It's sad. They all saw the same vision. It's great. This is the man of sin. See, this cannot take place, though, until Israel is restored and apostatizes. So we're talking about some years ahead. On the other hand, if Elijah does come, this dispensation we're in is over. It's finished. Some of you will wake up in the place of your citizenship. Some of you will be probably left here to let a few people know what happened. There's not enough of us anyhow, we won't be missed. A week's time and we've forgotten about it. This is not the rapture. We're not looking for the Lord's coming back to this planet. We're looking to meet him in the place of our citizenship. We'll see that next week. And one other thing about the secret of Christ, we didn't cover, is that Israel had all the advantage. Notice Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Romans 9, verse 4. Israelites, pertaining to adoption, the glory, covenants, giving the law, service of God, and what? and all the promises. See, we had nothing. It wasn't until Paul's gospel there was any way around this at all. And that laid the foundation for what we call God's sacred secret. What God calls it, his sacred secret. Something that he worked out in his hidden counsels before the overthrow of the cosmos. That word only appears three times in the Bible. Once in concerning us, the other two times concerning his crucifixion and his leaving of glory to come down here. So that the mystery is what we want to go and deal with next week. But I think you've got the gist of what we wanted to get across in the secret of Christ. The capstone, of course, of the secret of Christ is Paul's gospel. It embraces God's sacred intent. It unveils God's length of Israel's blindness. It unveils the secret of faith. It unveils the mystery of iniquity. It unveils Israel's advantage and God's secret intent and so on. Next week we'll go, that's the foundation. Next week we'll be dealing with the mystery itself. And we'll just take a quick look, read the rest of it, which we didn't read this morning, and which we'll be dealing with next week. Ephesians 3 again. We can read it in verse 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand my secret, my knowledge in the secret of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets, not by the Spirit, but in the Spirit. Now, when did that happen? Remember the 15th chapter of Acts? For the first time, 17 years after Paul's conversion, they begin to see the secrets of Christ that was given to the Apostle Paul. Remember? Study 15th chapter of Acts. It was revealed to them in spirit. How? Through the Apostle Paul. Now, on the other hand, that the Gentiles, coming back now to verse 3, you got a parenthesis, you see, as I wrote concerning the secret of Christ. You pick up the mystery, though, in verse 6. The nations should be joint heirs of a joint body and joint partakers. Your English is bad there, but we'll deal with that next week. Paul said, this for this reason, verse 7, I am made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least, that's one word. It's the Greek word, leaster. There's no such word. He coined that word. We've tried to translate it in English. It's pretty hard. Less than the least. Given unto me that I should preach among the Gentiles, what? The untractable. Unsearchable is all right, but it's stronger than that. It's used in Greek for tracking animals. This little prefix, un, you can't track it. You can't look. If you look in the Old Testament anywhere you think you found the mystery, you deceived yourself. It isn't there. It's hidden in God. Only the prison letters unveil this mystery. Remember that. Other secrets are before that, but they fall in the context of those things that were hushed up, not hidden. Now, and you see the call in the light of this fact, we're to make all see what is this dispensation, or this stewardship, this fellowship of the mystery, which has been hid. Whereabouts? Hid in God. That's the problem, you see. When men try to mix it up with the other parts of Scripture and not recognizing that division, what do you got? You got a combination salad. This is a seven-course dinner. You don't get anything out of it unless you eat it right. See? That's kind of crude language, but I'm kind of a crude person anyhow, so... Let's stop here. Now, most of what we've said had to do with the secrets that revealed Apostle Paul that were hushed up as long as God was dealing with Israel. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, we want to put the finishing touches on this, the cream of it, so that you can see what God in his grace has held out for you. again for your faithfulness, this word, your grace. We want to say thank you. Pray that if I've over-exaggerated things, you comment down, but everything is approval, encouraging. Bless now for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.